Today we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family. We're remembering that beautiful family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the Holy Family is held up to us really as an example for all families of what it means for families to live their faith. We see this in the fact that the Holy Family had the openness to God's will in their lives. Look at the Blessed Mother Mary. She had the openness to becoming the Mother of God. Look at Joseph, who was open to Mary's pregnancy, even when he maybe didn't quite understand what had happened. And then we see in the gospel today the openness of the family to fleeing to Egypt to protect the life of the Christ child. So we know there was an openness to God's will in their lives. But we also know that there was a openness to passing on and practicing their faith, the faith that they had received from their parents. Because there are a number of times in the scriptures when we see the Holy Family taking the child, the infant, later the child Jesus, to the temple in Jerusalem, which was a fairly significant journey. Well, the Holy Family is held up for us an example because they show us how families are to be, how we are to live are as families with our parents, our children, our grandchildren, and so on. In fact, the Second Vatican Council thinks families are so important that the document Lumen Gentium calls families the domestic church. Now, this comes from that document. The family is, so to speak, the domestic church. In it, parents should, by their word and example, be the first preachers of the faith to their children. They should encourage them in the vocation which is proper to each of them, fostering with special care vocation to a sacred state. Now let's take a look at that. You know, it describes what it means for parents, for a family, to be the domestic church. First thing Lumen Gentium says is that parents are the first teachers of the faith. How parents live their lives, how you as parents, as you as grandparents, live your lives, influences the most strongly how your children and grandchildren live their faith lives. And parents are the first teachers, not priests, not religious ed teachers, but parents are the first ones that are called to pass on their faith. And then look with this, especially where it says that parents should be fostering with special care vocation to a religious state. In my experience and what I've seen in talking with others, other seminarians, other priests, religious, parents can make or break a religious vocation. Parents have a great influence on whether or not a young man or young woman considers the priesthood or religious life, whatever they happen to be called for. And I've, you know, again, when I was a seminarian, talking with other seminarians who had delayed their vocation, They might have discerned in high school that they were called to religious vocation, but they delayed that vocation because they knew that their parents would not approve. And I know of several people who did not discern a religious vocation, thought they might be called, but they didn't go to seminary, didn't go into an order because they knew that their parents disagreed. Parents told them not to consider, discouraged that religious vocation. Now, we often hear that family is the foundation of our culture. Family is the bedrock of our culture, and that is very true. But in the same way, families are the foundation or the bedrock of the church. And I mean by this, not in the literal sense, but I mean that if families in a parish are strong in the practice of the faith, if they make their faith life a priority and pass that faith on to their children, the faith life in a parish will be excited. It will be boisterous. I'm blanking on the word, but the faith life will be lifted up in the parish. It will be a vibrant parish. That's the word I'm looking for. But if parents do not practice their faith, if they do not make their faith priority, if they put other things ahead of their faith, that also affects the faith life in the parish. And it won't be a vibrant parish. It'll be a dying parish because the priority is elsewhere for the families of the parish. And it's important right now, it's always important, but especially in this day and age, that families make their faith life a priority and they be open to practicing that faith as strongly as they can. Because we live in a culture that is very much attacking family life, wanting to redefine what family is about in the first place. You know, you turn on the TV and you see television shows that basically the only reason why these shows exist is to promote alternative lifestyles, to promote sexual promiscuity, things like that, things that erode away at the meaning of family life. We see movements throughout our country and throughout the world for legal recognition for so-called non-traditional families, cohabitation partner benefits at work, and things like the movement to legalize same-sex so-called marriage. We see movements within our country to dispose or disregard of family members who are considered inconvenient. And I even saw this when I was in high school, when I worked as a nurse's aide part-time at the nursing home there in Culbertson. We would have residents who their families basically abandoned them into the nursing home. They were too much to deal with, so they just threw them in the nursing home and never came to visit, never called the family member, never had anything to do with their parent, their grandparent, their aunt, their uncle, whatever their relation happened to be. But they were basically abandoned. We also see this with abortion and euthanasia, where if a child is inconvenient, or if someone who's elderly is in need of too much help or assistance, we can get rid of that. And on and on. There's so many things going on in our culture that are eroding the meaning of family. And so we as disciples of Christ, if we are truly disciples of Christ, need to defend family life, need to defend the family, and to do it by living our faith openly as families, to make it clear as a family that the faith is important to us. Parents, grandparents, your faith should not be a secret to your children. What you believe, what you feel about the faith should not be a secret to your children. You should be discussing with them how important the faith is for you. We need to be passing on our faith to the children and the grandchildren. The Second Vatican Council says parents should, by their word and example, be the first preachers of the faith to their children. We'll hear this phrase again here shortly with the baptism, as that phrase about parents being the first and best teachers of the faith, reiterating that it's so important. And then parents need to encourage children in living out their faith, not discouraging it, not being silent about it, but encouraging them to practice the faith, to live it out. Again, going back to the Second Vatican Council, parents should encourage them in the vocation which is proper to each of them, fostering with special care vocation to a sacred state. If we are to be disciples of Christ and we are to live that faith as our family, as families, we can look to the Holy Family as our example. They are held up to us truly as our example for all families. And just encourage families to live up to that example. Seek that example and live up to it for the sake of the church and for the sake of the world.